Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For, as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends.
At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go and tell that fox, I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'"
Today's readings tell us about the nature of Jesus and his ministry, but I feel they also tell us about the position of authority and politics within the formation of the early Christian church. They tell us that Jesus was a good Jewish man who followed the law of Moses, but questioned the authority of those who had power within the faith. Upon reading this passage, it occurred to me that this "do as I say, not as I do" from those in authority is not a new thing. Philippians state that we have a model to live our lives by, but must take care as their minds are set on earthly things rather than focusing on citizenship in heaven. I had a discussion with a friend at work this week where I said that sometimes I really have to remind myself that the gospel events occurred around 2,000 years ago, because it feels as if it could have happened recently. In fact, some of the arguments about who is and who isn't a good person feel perpetual. One aspect of the gospel reading that struck me were the Pharisees who gave Jesus warning to leave this place as Herod wanted to kill him. I'll be honest, I haven't really thought much about the Pharisees in the past. They have always been the bad guys in the story. Those who couldn't see all the amazing things that Jesus was doing. Those who couldn't hear all the amazing words he was speaking. Those who were unable to listen to the lessons he was teaching because they were too occupied with maintaining the status quo and their position in society. I found this passage rather tricky to talk about, so I decided to find out how others had interpreted this reading and what they had to say about it. During my research, I've read some interpretations of this passage where people have questioned whether the Pharisees were actually warning Jesus, or perhaps using it as a threat to scare him and stop him from teaching, healing, and saving. This led me to think about the Pharisees not as a homogenous group, but as individuals with a similar political approach. Religion and politics, two of the topics that polite society shouldn't talk about. As I've told you, I found it difficult this week. My research into the Pharisees led me to William Barclay, who wrote that the Talmud described seven different types of Pharisees. The shoulder Pharisee, who wore all his good deeds and righteousness on his shoulder for everyone to see. The waiter little Pharisee, who intended to do good deeds, but could always find a reason for doing them later, not now. The bruised or bleeding Pharisee, who was so holy that he would turn his head away from any woman seen in public, and was therefore constantly bumping into things and tripping, thus injuring himself. The humpbacked Pharisee, who was so humble that he walked bent over and barely lifting his feet, so everyone could see just how humble he was. The always counting Pharisee, who was always counting up his good deeds and believed that he put God in debt to him for all the good he had done. The fearful Pharisee, who did good because he was terrified that God would strike him with judgment if he did not. The God-fearing Pharisee, who really loved God and did good deeds to please the God that he loved. It made me wonder which type of Pharisee was warning Jesus. There are those who possibly would have been using it as a threat to try and make Jesus go away. But I feel that there were also others who may have genuinely feared for Jesus' life and wanted to warn him, to save him. Perhaps these Pharisees were the ones that later joined the early church and encouraged the discussions about whether the Gentiles needed to be circumcised and follow the other laws of Moses. I thought about the current very public issues within the Church of England regarding safeguarding. I've been struggling to understand how people can have made significant errors of judgment that have had awful repercussions. I have struggled to align my wish to serve God and his people with formally joining the Church of England, who have made mistakes and perhaps chosen not to learn from them. I wondered if perhaps I had started seeing those in authority as Pharisees, as those who wish to be seen as righteous by obeying certain laws, but ignoring those issues that truly matter. But I kept coming back to the fact in the reading that some Pharisees warned Jesus. Perhaps it is my naivety, but I began to think about those who could see the reality of the situation. Those brave enough to blow the whistle, those who could see something greater than their own political power. Perhaps these Pharisees were the God-fearing Pharisees that William Barclay spoke about. Herod is described as a fox, a cunning, sly animal, but certainly not a majestic lion or other biblical creature. This would have further antagonized Herod, who one might imagine would be looking to strengthen his position as the king, as the area was under Roman occupation. The news over the last couple of weeks has shown us quite how challenging it is when powerful leaders clash and try to exert power over each other and prove that they are in charge. Having someone travelling around the area preaching, healing, and teaching about a different type of kingdom would have undermined Herod's authority as king, so I can well imagine that he would want Jesus dead. We know that, although the gospel reading says that Herod wanted to kill Jesus, when given the opportunity to do so in the Passion, he refuses to do it. In fact, it states that Herod was greatly pleased to see him, but when he doesn't perform a sign of some sort, he and his soldiers ridicule and mock Jesus. Although Herod is powerful and threatening Jesus' life, Jesus refuses to stop his ministry. He doesn't walk away and continue in secret, discreetly. He states loudly that he will be doing these things today and tomorrow. Jesus proclaimed loudly that what he was doing mattered. He would not be dissuaded. He could not be threatened. He would not retreat. Knowing the Easter story as we do, this passage foreshadows Jesus' death and subsequent resurrection. It talks about how Jesus longs to gather the people together like chicks and protect them as a hen protects its chicks. Jesus longs to protect us as a mother hen protects her offspring, without any consideration of the hen's well-being and safety, purely focused on gathering together and uniting. Perhaps the Pharisees listening to this were indeed the ones that turned to Christianity. Perhaps the chicks gathered under the wings of Jesus included them. Jesus was not backwards in coming forwards in saying that Jerusalem had prior form in stoning and killing prophets. These were powerful words coming from someone who had just been warned that Herod wanted him dead. I thought about this, and I thought about myself, and I wondered who I was more like, the Pharisees or Jesus. There are times when I have certainly been a wait a little Pharisee. Perhaps now is not the right time in my life or for the church community. At times, perhaps I have kept count of all the hard work I have done, all the many roles I have filled at church. Has this made me like the always counting Pharisee? I hope that I am, in fact, more of a God-fearing Pharisee who, according to William Barclay, really loved God and did good deeds to please the God that I love. Speaking to someone this week about my journey of faith, I was able to articulate more confidently that the way I express my love for God is through my acts of service in trying to bring God's kingdom to this corner of South East London. How I long to be more Christ-like, though. To proclaim and challenge without fear of upsetting others in authority and facing the repercussions. Within this passage, we are warned about power and control. Jerusalem was the home of the Jewish religion. The temple was heavily controlled, with only certain groups of people having any access to it. How many of us are spiritual insiders? Perhaps you might recognize aspects of yourself in Barclay's Pharisees. Are there those of us who think that we know how to access God, how to gatekeep his word and his message? How are we taking his word and his message into our daily lives and sharing it with those who are not here with us on a Sunday? Have we resisted God's call on us to work to bring his kingdom on earth because we are too busy, or because we have been warned away? How often in the Bible has God's love been offered and rejected? The cross, which we see in the light of the resurrection, is an expression of God's love for us all and a refusal to accept our rejection. Jesus states in this reading that he has work to do and will not be deterred from it. We have work to do. The question is, who are we going to emulate in this task? The Pharisees who threatened Jesus, the Pharisees who warned Jesus, or Jesus who sacrificed everything for those who rejected him?